Let's go back to a couple of scriptures that we've heard from before. I want to speak some more. From 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go there first, and then 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 12 to 17. And 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 16 to 21. And speak again, once again, on these wonderful texts. Well, based on the teaching of these texts and others as well. Hear now God's word, dear people of God, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 12. Actually, verse 13. Evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word to our hearts and to our minds, Lord Jesus, to our hearts and to our minds go. Linger there, be there, and strengthen us through thy word. Thy word is truth. And because of it, we love thee more. May we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the instruction, through the devotion, the study, the reading, the meditation, the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if one were to ask you what was at bottom of the Reformation, what was it all about? And it was, of course, many things were considered, but the main thing at bottom concerning the Reformation were the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and how we were to treat them. What they were, what they are, and that was really at bottom what it came to. The Latin phrases coined by the Reformers to express this and their conviction about the Bible and the Scriptures were sola scriptura, the Scriptures alone, and prima scriptura, the primacy of Scripture, not only in faith, but also in life. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the reformers are taught, and we are taught to this day, especially in the Reformed churches, but even in evangelical churches that are not per se Reformed, but we are taught that we're not to believe anyone or anything outside of the Scriptures concerning spiritual matters, concerning life matters, really. That we are not to accept anything that contradicts anything in the Bible, or anyone that contradicts, whether he's a pope or a priest or a minister, whomever. We are not to contradict or believe anything contradictory about the Word of God. The way that they have described it is that it is the Word of God and the words of men. The Word of God in the words of men. And that makes for an interesting study when you think of all the various styles. And there you have to go to the original languages to appreciate it more, because it looks like in the English that, a couple of authors wrote the whole thing. But actually, the various styles of Hebrew and the various styles of Greek, even between 1st and 2nd Peter, by the way, are remarkable. And it brings up the talents and the abilities and the personality even of that individual that was inspired to write those words. So it wasn't just a strict dictation or God overcoming the man and putting him in some kind of trance as he wrote. He used his life circumstances and situations, his abilities, his talents to bring this out. And yet it's brought out to be the inspired and infallible Word of God. So that's a remarkable thing that occurred. And it's a great study. And it's, we studied a lot about that at seminary. And it took a lot of time to get into many of the intricacies of how the Bible came to us in its version today, in its English version. It's truly a remarkable thing. It gets complicated. It does get very complicated. It's not as easy as all that. However, the Word itself being brought to us the way it is made easy. And that's not because of the translators necessarily, although they were helpful, but it's because of God Himself. God Himself has made the Scriptures perspicuous. And that's what I want to talk about again. I talked about it already once before, perspicuity or clarity, the clarity of Scripture. And in the previous message that I brought to you based on these texts, these Scriptures here, particularly verse 19 in 2 Peter 1, for example, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star appear. And then, of course, in Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm going to bring that up a little later in this message. But last time, I talked about what it is. What is perspicuity or clarity of the Word of God? And I said, in some measure, I defined it by what it isn't. And, of course, perspicuity or clarity is not that there are some places in the Scripture that are a little more difficult than others, as Peter points out about Paul's writings, that some are difficult, and there are perverse people that take these Scriptures and twist them to their own destruction. So there are portions of the Bible that are not obscure, but they are difficult. They're not dark sayings, but they are to be studied and delved into quite a bit and talked about and taught. That was one of the things I pointed out. The doctrine of clarity of the Scripture does, however, emphasize that anything that is for our salvation, necessary for our salvation, is clearly announced in the Bible. I want to go on now to prove that a little bit from the Scriptures themselves that we have heard, from other Scriptures. But before I do that, I want to go and show you from people like Martin Luther and John Calvin, the Belgic Confession, the Westminster Standard, that they all agree on this doctrine. And they all taught it. And to this day, we have accepted it. Now, it began, the Reformation, with Martin Luther, as you know. And one of the things that Martin Luther did concerning this matter is he wrote a fantastic book, and I would encourage you, if you haven't done so or read it already, to get this book, The Bondage of the Will, written by Martin Luther. And what Martin Luther was doing there was he was debating back and forth with Erasmus of Rotterdam, the Roman Catholic theologian and scholar, about the will. And one of the things that he said in The Bondage of the Will was that that from the Scriptures we can understand that man's will is in bondage to sin because he's a sinner, and that sin has dominion over him, and he was arguing that. And he was basing this on the doctrine of perspicuity, on the doctrine of the clarity. The Scriptures are clearly teach that man's will is bound to sin. Whereas Erasmus was arguing that the Scriptures are not clear, but they're obscure, and therefore they can't be a basis for that kind of doctrine, for the doctrine of the bondage of the will. And one of the things that Luther said, he began against him in vain, that the pestilential saying of the sophist that the Scriptures are obscure and ambiguous, it ought above all to be settled and established among Christians that the Holy Scriptures are a spiritual light far brighter than the sun itself, especially in things that are necessary to salvation. And one of the things he used, of course, was the scriptures, and one of the texts he used was Psalm 119, verse 130, which says, "The opening of thy word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." So in other words, when you open the Bible, it's like opening a door where there's light coming from that room, and the light shines out into your room, into your place. And of course, it would not be so if they were obscure and dark and riddled with confused allegorical sayings and expressions and stories and such. And so that was one thing that Luther pointed out in The Bondage of the Will, based on the perspicuity or the clarity of the Word of God. It is clear, it is light, especially concerning salvation. Yeah, there are some passages that are difficult and need to be studied deeply, but anyone can get a saving knowledge because the Scriptures bring light to a dark world. John Calvin also agreed with Luther. And he wrote in his Institutes that God, the artificer of the universe, is made manifest to us in the Scripture, that what we ought to think of him is set forth there, lest we seek some uncertain deity by devious paths. And Calvin used the Psalms as well, Psalm 19, where he said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Calvin argued that Scripture is the very school for his children. The Bible is God's school for his children. It teaches his children from any and every age about the truth concerning God, his Son Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. In one of his commentaries on Deuteronomy 30:11, commenting on this text here, he's, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. And Calvin was commenting on that very verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, that God is not hiding himself behind allegorical trees in a dark, dark forest. He's bringing it up and out clearly so his people can understand him, can learn about him, can learn from him, and believe and embrace him all the more. The Belgic Confessions points this out when it says, "God makes himself more clearly and fully known to us as far as is necessary for us to know in this life to his glory and our salvation." The Westminster Confession: "All things in Scripture are not alike, plain in themselves, nor alike clear unto all. Yet those things which are necessary to be known, believed, and observed for salvation are so clearly propounded and opened in some place of Scripture or other, not only the learned but the unlearned, in a due use of the ordinary means, may attain unto a sufficient understanding of them." This was a doctrine, this was a teaching that the Reformers taught and kept. The perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. It was a foundational principle. It was what they challenged Rome with and their theologians, that they thought that the Bible was obscure and it was hard, and the average person, certainly the uneducated, could not hold it and read it and learn from it themselves. They needed someone else. They needed some priest or some theologian to help them to learn. And so Mother Church became as high, really higher than the Bible itself, as inspired and the authority, the sole authority of the people. Well, the Reformers balked at that. They challenged that. They said that's not the case. The Bible, again and again, talks about how clear it is, how it brings light, how it is for children as well as for adults, how anyone and everyone can profit and especially can learn the things pertaining to salvation quite easily, quite clearly, without a special interpreter or even a priest at that time. Take away this doctrine of perspicuity, this doctrine of clarity, the clarity of the Word of God, and you take away the Scriptures. You take the Scriptures from the people. The whole Reformation collapses, and we are left back in the dark ages when it comes to these. But open up the truth of the Word of God, that it is this doctrine of perspicuity, this doctrine of clarity, and you bring light, life, and liberty to the world. It truly was a reformation based on this doctrine. If the Bible is not clear, if anyone and everyone cannot profit from it, as the apostle writes to Timothy here, that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable, you take away that. And you say it's obscure. Now, there's several ways, several lines of arguing that that has to be the case based on who God is. And I'm going to come to our text in a minute, but before I get to that, I want to give you one or two lines of thinking about why it is that the Scriptures and this doctrine in particular of the perspicuity or the clarity of Scripture must be. It has to be. And the first line of argument is that God is a covenant God. That God has a relationship, a covenant relationship like you have in marriage. We have covenant relationships between spouses, a man and a woman. Well, what's one essential ingredient of a covenant relationship, of a relationship? What's foundational to any relationship? And that is communication, right? You don't communicate to one another, where is he at? What is he doing? What is she thinking? Who is he with? When will she be, you know, there's just all kinds of questions. Without communication, there is no standing relationship. There is no close relationship. But God has, it's clear in the Scriptures, that God has a close relationship, an intimate relationship from Adam and Eve on with all his people. He walks with them in Adam and Eve's case, walk with them and talk with them in the cool of the day in the garden. And he reveals himself to his people in their innermost self, in their soul. He abides with them through the presence of the Spirit. Jesus said that, right? That the Father and the Son will abide with you through the Paraclete, the Comforter, through the Holy Ghost. He makes his home, he resides within you, within us. That takes communication, to know that, to love that, to appreciate that. The Bible says, Jesus talks about, he taught his disciples to pray, when you pray, pray our Father. Paul talks about that, that the Spirit himself witnesses that he is our Father. We are his children, whereby we call him Abba, Father. And some people interpret that Daddy. And that takes communication to, as a father, good father wants to communicate his love and his will and his desire towards his children, God must as well. Because he is a father and a good father, communicate to us his love and his will and his desires towards his children. That has to be clear. It can't be obscure. And so it was that line of thinking, he calls himself in another place, our husband. He's the husband of his wife. His wife, he loves his wife, his bride, the church. Again, there's communication there. There's intimacy there. And there must be clear communication between the husband and the wife, which is the church of Jesus Christ. So that's one line of arguing. That the Scriptures must be perspicuous, they must be clear, in order for God to be our Father, to be our husband, the church's husband, to be our friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. Another line of arguing for the perspicuity of the Bible is, to whom is it addressed? To whom is the Bible, the Word of God, addressed? Is it addressed to PhDs, scholars only, people that have intellectual gifts? Is the Bible addressed to people that have a commanding a command of the languages, Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic? Is it addressed to people that have done Near Eastern studies in religion? To whom is it addressed? Is it addressed to those people that have Second Temple Judaism or studied Greco-Roman cultures? No. Obviously not. The Bible is not just addressed to scholars and people that have studied these obscure studies. But it's addressed to all that be in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints. It's addressed to the church at Philippi, to all the saints at Philippi and the deacons and elders as well. Not just the deacons and elders, but to all the saints and all the people at Philippi. In fact, every letter is addressed that way. It's addressed to all the church, to all the people, to all the citizens of the kingdom, not just to a select few with special knowledge given to them by God himself or by some sort of talent and ability. No, it's addressed. It includes everyone. So that's another line of thinking, arguing for the doctrine of the clarity of the Bible, the perspicuity of the Bible. And then, of course, there are texts as well. And these are just two texts among many that speak of it. All Scripture, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, as the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture would not be profitable if it was obscure, if it couldn't be understood, if it couldn't be embraced wholeheartedly, because how do I know what it means? But listen to this, what came before in 2 Timothy, which I read, chapter 3, right before it, verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus. Timothy knew these from a child. He was taught by his grandmother. So that as a child, he understood salvation. He understood it from the Scriptures, being taught the Scriptures. How is that possible if it's full of allegorical meanings and parables and constructs that are difficult to understand? Another argument for this doctrine. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's so clear that the Bible is clear. If you read the Bible, it becomes clearer and clearer that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And the only way is through grace. It becomes crystal clear that that's the way. That it's not, salvation is not of him that wills. It's not of man's will or willpower. It's not of him who runs, that does good works, and that works and works and works towards it. But it's of God that shows mercy. Salvation is of God that shows mercy, not of man. And it's clear, crystal clear. And the only reason that everyone in every church doesn't believe that is because they have been confused by the error of the day, by people telling them that you have to learn this from someone else. And they become indoctrinated into these things, and they can't see the light that shines from the Word of God on its own to every heart and mind and soul of the believer. And then we have this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. We have also a more sure word, a sure word, a certain word, a word without a doubt, whereby ye do well to take heed as a what? A light shining in a dark place. This dark place is the world. This dark place is the teachings of the world. The dark place to which the apostle refers is all that surrounds us that is in this place from a spiritual point of view. But this is a light that shines, that pierces into that darkness and lights up the place. Until the day dawn and the day star appear in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures, of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came unto men of old not by the will of man, but by God himself who spoke unto them who were moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture lights up the place. It doesn't obscure things. It doesn't darken our lives. It doesn't ruin our lives. It doesn't wreck our lives. People do that. Sometimes even mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, friends so-called that come along and lead people astray. The Bible doesn't do that. The Bible is quite clear how we're supposed to relate to God, what salvation is all about. How we're supposed to be as husbands and as wives, as fathers and as mothers. It's quite clear what we're supposed to do. It's quite clear about staying away from all this sex sin and all this lust and all this covetousness and all this wickedness that is at work where the places you go to work and play and all these people gather together and plot and plan their sinful activities. It's clear about that. It says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Do not be conformed by the standard of this world, by the opinions of darkness that are controlled by none other than Satan himself. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the light. Thy word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my path, a light unto my feet. You know what the Bible says. It lights up the life. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it's because of this doctrine, a perspicuity, a foundational teaching of the Reformation, what's brought the Reformation about, that the Bible is clear. And you know, before that, it was Tyndale and Wycliffe and others that made it clear that the Bible should be translated into the language of the people so they can read it and understand it. And Huss and those people, so that people can be saved and sanctified and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, it's because I believe that with my whole heart, and I stand on that like our fathers did and our mothers, that I'm able to preach. I couldn't possibly teach what I teach, preach what I preach. If I thought that the Bible was so obscure and so difficult, I'd have to read every single word very carefully. And from others who taught me that for fear that I wouldn't know what I was talking about. But I do know what I understand exactly what I'm saying. And I know I'm right. Not me, but God is right. We need to have and hold these things. Brothers and sisters, it was because of this doctrine of the perspicuity of Scripture that I was able to raise my children. My wife and I would sit at the dinner table before we would pray, and after that we would pray as well, and we'd read the Scriptures to them and teach them the Scriptures at home in our devotional time. And the children, every day practically, you know, we miss sometimes, but practically every day we'd sit down around the Word of God. And we would sing a hymn, we would pray a prayer, we would recite a verse and have them memorize that verse or that catechism, and then talk about it with them.
It's because it was clear that we were able to do that in our own homes and raise them up in the Lord. It's because of that, the clarity of the Bible, that my wife and I could sit down and do a devotion together with understanding and get something out of it that enriched our lives together and our understanding. Just by doing devotions together at home, reading the Bible at mealtime or thereafter. Why is that? Because the Bible's clear. Anyone can get something out of it, a lot out of it, and raise their family. And now we're looking forward to, my wife and I are looking forward to, teaching the grandchildren something about the Bible when they're in office vicinity, encouraging our own daughters to do that with them at home, but when they come to us as well, to sing songs and hymns with them, to them, for them to learn and appreciate God and what the Bible has to say to us and how salvation works and sanctification. It's all because of this doctrine of the perspicuity of Scripture. We have and hold that we are Reformed. We are Orthodox Presbyterians. It's because of this doctrine. Mainly, mostly, not solely, but mainly, because we love our Bibles and we believe that God is speaking to us in English through this book. And yeah, I can open it practically anywhere and understand what it's saying, get something out of it for my life. Love this. Love this doctrine. The perspicuity of the Scriptures. The clarity of the Bible. Have it, hold it, love it. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, Thou hast blessed us with so very much, Thy Word. Thy Word is truth, and it has revealed all truth spiritually, all truth to us from Genesis to Revelation. We can get so much from it. And yes, there are passages that are not as clear as others, and they need study, and we can always learn more and more and make more and more connections, but we know and we love You because You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. May Your truths hold firm in one truth, one doctrine, if you will, the perspicuity of the Bible, the Scriptures, we ought to appreciate. And we do. In Jesus' name, Amen.